Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. That's good. This is definitely the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we make the choice, don't we? We're going to make the choice to rejoice. Choices are very important, aren't they? You know, God created us with a choice. First of all, He called you His choice. You were chosen. You are predestined. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a calling. There's so much that God has made for us that we have a tendency to ignore, take lightly. Really not count it. You know, every day we get up and we breathe. That's an opportunity to say, thank you. I'm not dead yet. They've been trying to kill me for years. You know, you think about it. I should have died. I mean, I overdosed so many times, I should have been dead. I found myself packed in ice and all kinds of stuff. I should have been dead. Every one of us should have been dead. And we find ourselves grumbling over the most stupidest things there are and forgot that we're still alive. And there's still a purpose that God's trying to fulfill. Does everybody get it? He's got a purpose for us. And He's trying to fulfill it in us and through us. But of course, it's going to take something, isn't it? It's called cooperation. Amen. See, even the children know. It's going to take cooperation. And in this cooperation, one of the things that we want to maintain is that attitude of gratitude. Amen? But there's something that's even more than an attitude of gratitude. Because if you're really maintaining an attitude of gratitude and you're grateful and thankful all the time, you're going to maintain another attitude, which is another level. It's called an attitude of favor. Does everybody get it? An attitude of what? Favor. Some people take it as arrogance because they don't understand the things of the Spirit. But there's an attitude of favor because you know Him. I mean, this is not about possibly knowing Him. It's because you do know Him. And it's because you speak to one another. Because you know who you are. Everyone say, I am. Because He is. See, when He came, He introduced Himself as the I am. Amen. Now that you're in Him, you are I am because He is. We're the I am on this side. Amen. He's the true I am. He's the source of all things, and everything else is a resource. But in this, it's one of the things that we, if you don't know who you are, you won't maintain an attitude of favor. An attitude of favor is associated with no matter what's going on, it's going to work to the good, even when you make a mistake. Because you know Him, and He knows you, and because you speak to one another, and there's nothing hidden. So no matter what's going on in your life, you maintain an attitude of favor. Why? Because you know it's going to work to the good. Somehow, some way, somewhere, it's going to work to the good. Now, it's not going to work to the good if I'm not cooperating. Amen? If I'm putting things before Him, if I'm not, if I've got too many, if I got idols, if other things, then it's not, it's going to work against me, isn't it? Even though God is trying to get something to me and for me, it's still going to work against me because the more I open the door to the enemy, the more he has access to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're not going to be too happy about that. In fact, you'll probably have an attitude of oppression, heaviness, guilt, condemnation, unworthiness. Those are not from God. Those are from the enemy, the devil, the powers of darkness, that want to bring you down. And one of the things that they always try to do is exchange your true identity for what they portray you to be. See, people find identity in their abilities, in their workplace, in their talents. They find their identity in these things. They find their identity in their accomplishments. Those are false identities. Your identity is found in Him and only in Him. And that's where you're going to maintain an attitude of gratitude and a level of favor. An attitude of favor. Does everybody understand? You know, we've all fallen into those areas, but we've got to pull ourselves out of those nets, because those are nets that are put by the enemy to snag us so we lose or exchange our identity. And losing or exchanging our identity brings an area of oppression. People say they're lonely. Well, how can you be lonely if we live and have our being in Him? Because of the lack of relationship. Again, people find their identity in the things carnally instead of finding them in the Lord. Because if you find your identity and maintain your identity in Him, you don't have to prove nothing to anyone. Does everybody get it? Even when I was in the drug world, there was times when I was honest. And when I was telling someone the truth, it's pretty wild, I'd say, God knows. God knows I didn't rip you off. I would say that. God knows. Why? Because I knew that He knew it all. But I didn't have that relationship with Him in reverence and honor and respect. But I had a fear relationship, because if I knew I didn't get my butt together soon, something bad worse was going to happen. I cried out to Him every time I overdosed. Help! I feared death. Now I know death is not a demotion, it's a promotion. Because I'm going home, where I came from. Because see, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know my identity. My identity was as a drug dealer. My identity was in materialism and all kinds of other things. That was my identity. My identity was in my relationships. But now my identity is in Him. And I don't care what people say. It doesn't matter. Because my life now, in our life as a believer, is to please Him, not man. There's a difference. And in this, again, we want to come to that place where we're, not only do we maintain an attitude of gratitude, but we go to another level of attitude, and that is an attitude of favor. Attitude of favor is knowing who you are. Would you turn to Proverbs 23? Proverbs 23. Can everybody hear me? Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Let's start at verse 4. Let's speak it together. Do not what? Overwork to be what? Rich. Because of your own understanding, what does he say? Cease or stop it. You will set your eyes on that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a what? Miser. That means one eye is on wicked. Nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. In other words, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your thoughts, your experiences will express an attitude in your heart. And unless your heart is on a daily exchange, exchanging your heart for his heart, people maintain a hardened heart because, you know what? Things don't always go your way, doesn't it? Seems to happen that way. Things just don't seem to work out the way I thought they would or the way I planned it. But in that, see, people get discouraged, frustrated, and so forth. Believe me, working on this car has been frustrating sometimes. I mean, I've got it all together, and that's all I need is one special little screw. And I don't have the screwdriver to get that special screw. And I was like, gosh. And it's frustrating because it's tedious. It's detailed. And I have to step back from it. And so many times we have to step back and step back from everything. You know, those are called the puddles of affliction, aren't they? People have a tendency to just splash in their own affliction. And then we want to spread it on you, you know. Here, take some of my affliction. No, man, I got enough of my own. No, so in this, we step back and we go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that I'm still alive. See, when things get rough for me, I remember looking out the windows, wondering how it would be to be normal. Wonder what it would be like to not have to desire to get something in me to feed the demons that were there. Wondering what it was like. I remember. Never lose sight of where you came from. And you'll maintain an attitude of gratefulness. And as that attitude of gratefulness increases, you'll be maintain an attitude of favor because you'll know who you are because you know what he's done for you. You know, his unconditional love. So as a man thinks, his thoughts, because of the things that we think and the things that are impressed in us, those thoughts are going to promote something in your heart. It's going to try to express an attitude. And an attitude that is expressed can either be a bad attitude or a good attitude. I hear people, oh, they got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, they just touched and agreed with a demon that morning. Because the enemy is trying to influence you to express an attitude of ungratefulness. See, one of the things that we have a tendency to do is look at what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have and being grateful of what we have. The Lord has always said to me, Guy, use what you have and I'll give you more. So I use everything I have to the max and then I know he'll provide more. But we have a tendency to not use everything we have and want more. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to travel. Amen? I'd like to see more parts of the world to find out what's going on, whatever. But so many times you can lose your identity in that. Does everybody get this? We don't want to lose who we are in the things of the world. We want to maintain who we are in him so we maintain an attitude of gratitude and we will manifest an attitude of favor so that when you go anywhere, it doesn't matter, no matter what's up. You know, one of the things I always, look at my father owns it all, even though the enemy's the ruler of this earth, my dad still made it. In fact, he made the enemy of the earth. Hello? Listen, devil, my dad created you. And then since I'm co-heir with him, you don't know who you're messing with. As long as my doors are shut, he can't access. That doesn't mean we won't go through things. Hello? If anybody believes that they're not going to go through things and live a perfect life, you're an idiot. That's deception. You will have trials and tribulations. So we embrace those things because it's an opportunity to learn and expose your enemy. But so many times people get so bound up into their trial and tribulation that they lose sight. They exchange their identity for who they are, for what's going on. And they don't take their dominion in who they are. See, when you know who you are, there's a dominion all the time. It doesn't matter. You're no longer a man pleaser, you're a God pleaser. But it doesn't mean that you're not submissive to authority. Amen? We're still submissive to authority. Why? We're submissive to authority because we are God pleasers, not man pleasers. In Psalm 84, an attitude of favor. Well, so when people ask you how you're doing, you say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I would say that's an attitude of favor. Amen? Why? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. You're speaking your own favor, aren't you? It may look like it. I just ran over my dog, but I'm still blessed and highly favored. Didn't do it on purpose. Does everybody understand? You know what I'm saying? God, I stepped on my bird twice, nearly killed it. It was by mistake. Laid hands on it. Things come back to life twice already. Praise God. I don't know why the Lord gives me love for this goofy little bird. Psalm 84, in verse 4. Everyone say, blessed are those who what? Dwell in your house. They will still be what? Praising. You know why we praise them? Because we're blessed. Why are we blessed? Because we have an attitude of favor. We praise them. Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to what? Strength. Each one appears before God. Where? In Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your what? Anointed. Everyone say, I'm anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will be what? Withheld from those who what? Walk uprightly. No good thing will be withheld. Let me share something with you that in a relationship, you know, one of the things about a relationship is you want to surprise one another. And one of the things that God tries to do with us is surprise us. In other words, you laid a supplication before the Lord a few years ago, and all of a sudden, whoa! Out of nowhere, you didn't even think about it anymore. And all of a sudden, God answered. You've been praying for someone for a long time. Then all of a sudden, bam. Or the Lord, something comes in the mail that you just, whoa, where'd this come from? You know? Somebody you lent money to a long time ago, and you just counted it off. And all of a sudden, boom, it shows up. Wow, Lord, you didn't forget. See, he doesn't forget. We have a tendency to. But one of the things he's trying to do is always bring us a surprise. Always tries to bring us a surprise. Surprise! Yes, what's this, Dad? All right, yeah. You know, and in that, it's because there's a relationship building. Why? Because you're maintaining an attitude of gratitude. You're maintaining an attitude of favor. So when things happen, it's not like It shouldn't happen. Thank you, Dad. See, in the beginning, we're all excited about everything, and we still maintain an excitement, but it should be now. You're looking for it. There's an expectation. Okay, Dad, what are you going to do today? Huh? Why? Because you're maintaining an attitude of favor. Favor. Now, the world doesn't understand that. Especially when you pull up into a place and it says no parking. And you let the person off and they say, you can't park here. And I say, my father owns this place. But I'm dropping someone off. I'm not going to break the law. But I will have favor. I'm going to have favor. Why? Because I'm protected. I'm in relationship with the Creator of all things. And as long as I keep setting my heart towards Him in everything, no matter what I'm doing, I'm setting my heart towards Him. And everything that I do to build His kingdom and not my own, I will have favor. I will have favor. Somehow, some way, something will happen to where I'm going to have favor. Does everybody get this? Listen, you're not going to have favor without an attitude of favor. So that means you must be in an area of expectation. And I got favor. Why? My dad owns the place. Yeah, the ruler is Satan, but my dad still owns it. And that's all that matters. Amen? James chapter 1. He said nothing good is going to be withheld from those who what? Walk uprightly. Well, because you're in relationship with Him and you know Him, you walk uprightly. You don't have to think about walking uprightly. You do it because that's your new life. Hallelujah. You know, when you're coming up to that light and all of a sudden it turns yellow, and you're going, oh man, do I blow this thing or do I? Wait a minute. Wouldn't be a very good example, would it? Those are areas you have to think about certain things, you know. Because you don't know in between, so the best thing to do is just, okay, stop. And yes. Amen? Did I say James? James chapter 1. In verse 2, would you read it with me? Gosh, is it hot in here or what? Nobody's hot? God. I'm balk. James chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read it. My brethren, what? Count it all joy when you fall in. When you what? Fall into what? Various trials. When you fall, you're going to fall into them. It says, count it all joy. Why? Because I maintain an attitude of favor. Don't matter what's going on. That's not arrogant. That's favor. Knowing that the testing of your... Do you see that word knowing? See, you know it because you know Him. Because you know His character. You know what the things that's getting ready to happen. In fact, you know things that are getting ready to happen before they happen. If you're alert. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, perfect work. And what's the perfect work? To bring you into a place where not only you are... have maintained an attitude of gratitude, but you go to a next level of attitude of favor. Favor. Because that's who you are now. That's how you live. You live in an arena of favor, not in an arena of doubt or fear or unbelief or confusion. You live in an arena of favor. Even if you have to, yeah, look at people work many, many hours to get something. In the arena of favor, you don't have to work as many hours. See, you can either live naturally or supernaturally. How many of y'all want to live supernaturally? I mean, you know, it's tiring to live naturally, isn't it? It's tough. It's draining. It's discouraging. I'm not saying quit your job and go, I got favor. No working, no eating. Hello? All right. He says this now. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking what? Nothing. That means he wants to get us to a place where we're not moved by maintaining an attitude of favor. Now he says this. Now if you lack wisdom, dummy, let him ask of God. Now wisdom tells you what to do. If you lack wisdom, ask the Lord, and he will give it to all liberally and without reproach. And he's going to give it to you. And verse 6, but let him ask in what? Faith. Now, faith is an area of attitude of favor. With no doubting. Why? Because I'm his kid. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Oh, I'm going to ask God, but I know he ain't giving it to me. Yo, stay away from me. I don't want to catch any of those cooties. Those are cooties of doubt. I don't know. Way. And it says here, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that person suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Unstable. Does everybody see that? We don't want to be unstable. We want to be steadfast in an attitude of favor. But you first got to get an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I trust you. Amen? No doubting. Doubting comes by an area of reasoning. The enemy always likes to reason. Reasoning is an area where people question. But what if? But how? But you know, there's always an inclination of doubt behind it. And in that inclination of doubt behind it, that means that there's not an area of attitude of gratitude. And that person won't get anything because he doesn't have an attitude of favor. Because the attitude of favor is also associated with faith. In Proverbs 8, we already know. Proverbs 18, life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's why we say, how you doing? Man, I just feel like garbage. I said, how you doing? I didn't ask you how you felt. You notice that? People ask, how you doing? I feel. Man, wait. I mean, he starts, don't tell me how you feel. Shh. Don't tell me how you feel. Why? Because your feelings will express your attitude. If you allow that to. And I feel miserable. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Now do you want to know about my feelings? See, I'm going to separate my feelings from my being blessed and my attitude of favor. We must separate them. We don't allow the feelings to dictate your attitude. You separate them. Amen? Amen. Glory. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Verse 24. What's it say? Make no what? Friendship with a what? Angry man. Does an angry man have an attitude of gratitude or favor? No, he's miserable. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you what? Learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. In other words, you will pick up what that person has. In other words, so be careful. Your associations will bring impartations. Amen. Somebody starts grumbling around you and complaining. Yo! Stop! In the name of love, before I cast you out, think it all over. Isaiah 55. Sing that one to that next demon sometime. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. Don't snare your soul by associations. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. As long as I'm there in the right location, we're good. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he is abundantly pardoned. Verse 8, read it with me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and bring it, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's why I am blessed and I am highly favored. I get that asked all the time, especially when I'm checking out the grocery stores. How are you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm fine. That's too bad. I'm blessed and highly favored. Would you like to be blessed and highly favored? $14.95, sir. Okay. Praise God. Stop. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, everyone speak this with me, please, because we are blessed and highly favored. We have an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of favor to the next level. Is everybody ready? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Hold on 1 second. Somebody's watching who's sick. I want you to know why you're watching right now, that because you're ill and whatever the world has told you, that I want you to know you maintain an attitude of favor. God will heal you. I decree it in the name of Jesus. God will heal you. Okay. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know that your healing glorifies him. Glorifies him. Do you know that your deliverance glorifies him? Do you know that your freedom glorifies him? So we're doing all this to glorify him. And we maintain an attitude of favor because we want him to have all the glory. Amen. And Romans 8. Attitude of favor. especially when you go to court. You don't want to have someone tell me, man, you know what's going to happen to you. We want to maintain an attitude of favor. If the Lord be with me, who can be against me? Amen? It still says behind the judge, in God I trust. Just because that judge may not trust him, you do. Verse 14. 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs of God. And joint heirs. Say joint heirs. I'm a joint heir with him. You can all say that, you know. Everyone say, I'm a joint heir, with God. Hallelujah. Because I'm favored. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. For I, considering that the suffering of this present time, those afflictions that you're calling it in all joy, because you're maintaining an attitude of favor. These wimpy afflictions that seem to be exaggerated. How many of y'all know the enemy loves to exaggerate a little thing? Blows it up. Did you ever see a blowfish? You go by there and you touch, if it's in the aquarium, you do this or something, the thing goes. Some people just do that. They look like blowfishes. Man, what's the matter? You all right? That's how they defend themselves. A blowfish blows up. It's supposed to scare the other fish off like they just drink spinach or something. Okay, verse 18. Let's say it again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. So look at, even all creation is waiting for you to be revealed. Amen? But you already are revealed. You don't have to wait. You're already a son and daughter of the Creator. You're a joint heir. So don't lose your identity. Amen? Maintain it, and maintain that attitude of gratitude and an attitude of favor. Hey, if he created it all, that means you own it all. I own it anyways. Doesn't matter. Now, don't go into the store and start taking stuff saying it's yours. You may own the jail cell for a little while. Hallelujah. Verse 28, let's speak it. And we know that all things what? All things what? Work to the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love him? Are you called? Then everything's going to work to the good. So what's the problem? Well, I just don't feel like it. So you're going to allow your feelings to dictate your attitude. You're going to create your own afflictions. You're going to open the door to the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And that's where doubt comes. That's where unbelief comes. Amen? Does everybody get that? That's where offense comes. You know, people are looking to be offended. They look to be offended, so they have an excuse to be miserable. And that's because the demon in them needs to get fed. So it tries to get someone to do something. So that spirit gets fed. See, instead of looking at the area of the affliction of exposing your enemy, people begin to feed them. But if you'll maintain an attitude of gratitude, I am thankful. And my dad owns it all. He created it all. I'm favored. No matter what I go through. Why? Because I know him. And if you know him, you're favored. No matter what. Doesn't matter. So then you praise and worship him because you want to get more in his presence because you know him. And he gives us all the guidance to help us and comfort us, to fill us and free us and refresh us. He gives us everything. But so many times people walk around everything he's given us and try and do it, get their own thing. Well, no, I just don't want to do that. I'll just walk around it and continue. It's like walking around the shower without taking one. Eventually, you stink. And fruits stink and become miserable. Then you can't stand yourself. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, I didn't change my watch. Does everybody know what the time changed? I guess so. You all showed here on time, didn't you? God, I look at my watch for a second going, oh my God. I can't believe I kept these people here this long. I knew this wasn't that long, was it? Where did I go? Where am I going now? Where are we going? Thank you. Had a lapse of time there, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. But he who is what? Joined to the Lord is what? Is what? One spirit with him. This is awesome. If we can just comprehend this, that we're actually joined. See, our carnal mind doesn't get all of this. We try to calculate things by the carnal mind instead of accepting and receiving them in the spirit. And that's two different things. See, the enemy wants to use your carnal mind because your carnal mind cannot please God and doesn't like God's presence. In fact, doesn't like God. It's rebellious. It's a brat. But it's the only thing that allows us to live in this realm. Because it's what functions and maintains this body. So we have to put up with it. It's what you were created with. It has all the functions like a unit, a CPU unit, you know. And it, you blink and do all of these other things and move and have your being or, because it's associated with the like a computer chip or a computer robot, you know. But your spirit man is what's to have dominion over those things. It has the dominion over emotions. They have dominion over all of these things. And every time those thoughts come, your spirit man takes dominion over them. And says, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. No, you're not going to talk to me that way. He has control. That's called self-control. It's control over self, the old self. See, people still don't have self-control or control over self, so self is running their life. And they're miserable. They don't carry an attitude. They're still trying to find their identity and their talents, abilities, works, arts, and all of these other things. Instead of finding their talent, instead of finding their identity in Christ and maintaining it there. That's who we are. Anything else is false identity. Does everybody understand? Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. Attitude of favor. Attitude of gratitude. Next level is favor. Ephesians chapter 1, please. In verse 3. Is everybody there? Would you speak it with me? Blessed. Blessed. I'm blessed. If you're blessed, you have an attitude of favor. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all what? Wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. So we have been predestined. We are blessed. He chose us. He sent you into this world. No matter how you came in here, no matter who you came in through, He sent you. He was looking for an opportunity to send you into this realm. Because you were predestined and chosen to be here specifically at this time. Now what are you going to do with it? Hello? Now what are you going to do with it? If you knew that you only had a time window of life, and you knew you were standing in the throne room of God, and He said, would you go for me into that realm? And you said, yes, Lord. And He's going to tell you, look, you're going to forget where you came from as soon as you get born in that realm. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to remind you who you are. Okay, I'll go, Lord. And you came into this realm. And the Holy Spirit came. Hey, do you remember? You know who you are. Don't exchange your ID. Are you going to fulfill what you're supposed to do? Are you going to come home empty-handed? Or are you going to fulfill what you're supposed to do? But Lord, I have a wife and children. I have this. I'm going to ask you again. Are you going to do what you're supposed to do? That's what He's asking. But what about this? And what about that? No. Are you going to do what I sent you to do? Are you going to come home empty-handed? Anybody want to go home empty-handed? Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, in verse 2, would you read it? Beware of what? Dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That means that your identity is no association with anything of the world. Your identity is in Him. Amen. Titles. Like people, oh, there's Pastor Guy. My identity is not being a pastor. My identity is in Him. My identity is not in the office. My identity is in Him. It's His office. Does everybody get that? Well, there's a movie star. See, movie stars have their identity in all of their shows, not in Christ. And those that have their identity in Christ express it, and they're grateful. Sports and everything else. Never allow your identity to be in anything else than Christ. Why? Because we are Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, or verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. concerning the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now, this was Saul who became Paul. His confidence was in the flesh and in his title as a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He came from the family line of all Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He knew the law. He did whatever. But he was still a murderer. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? Christ. In other words, all of these things I had my identity in. But once Christ came into my life and I surrendered and gave him my life, my identity was no longer on who I am, what I've done, what I'm doing, or what I'm going to do. My identity is in him. Amen. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He was finding himself in Christ and nothing else. And let me tell you, when you find yourself in that place, you will always maintain an attitude of favor because you will know who you are. You won't have to find out who you are. You know, when we were younger, we always went, oh, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. In other words, they were still trying to find their identity. So we want to raise up our children now in the area of their identity is in Christ. What they're going to be when they grow up is how they're going to utilize that talent to infiltrate the world by bringing the identity of Christ into the world. Hallelujah. James, let's go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Would you read it with me, please? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his what? Divine power has given to us what? All things. You know, just to know that enough. Just to know that his divine power has been given to me and you to have all things. That's enough right there. That, verse 3 again, read it with me. As his divine power has given to us all things that what? Pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Let me ask you this. You think an attitude of favor is a part of the divine nature? Yeah, man. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, to knowledge what? Self-control. That means control over the self of those feelings and emotions that try to dictate your attitude. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, what? Godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old. In other words, he has lost the attitude of gratitude and a lost attitude of favor. In other words, they lose their identity. When you lose your identity, you lose gratefulness and you lose favor. 1 Peter chapter 2, while we're here. In verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Would you read it? But you are what? You're what? You're what? Say, I'm chosen. Not frozen. But you are a chosen generation. A what? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Say, I'm special. I'm favored. I'm loved. I'm blessed. And I'm spoiled. Yeah. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Why? Because they bring discouragement. They'll exchange your identity again. You'll start to try to look for your identity in a bottle, in booze, and drugs, and work, and this and that, and relationships and everything else, instead of finding your identity in Christ. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, you don't give a hoot. By your good works, which they observe, glorify God in a day of visitation. And I want to close at Ephesians 5, I think. God willing. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, be what? Be what? Imitators of who? Oh, wait a minute here. Be an imitator of God. He says you're a joint heir with him. He doesn't mean about this in arrogance or pride. I'm God. No, you're not God. But you were born again in his image and likeness and express his character. And you have a character now of an attitude of gratitude and an area of favor because you know him, you trust him, you love him, and you know no matter what's going on, it's going to work to the good. No matter what. You're maintaining your identity. And by maintaining your identity, you maintain a good attitude of favor. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Come on, read it with me. And given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore what? Do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walking as child of light is an area of attitude of favor. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have what? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'm going to go to one more scripture. Can you handle it? 1 John chapter 2. glory. Attitude of favor. Some of y'all need to look in the mirror and cast out that miserable attitude, that's all. First John chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 18. Read it with me. Little children, it is the what? It's the last hour, man. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? You have a what?
Anointing.
Everyone say, I have an anointing.
I have an anointing.
I have it because he gave it to me. Because it's his presence. It's his spirit. It's his will. Now I want to yield to the anointing. His spirit. To do his will. Verse 20 again. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you what? And you know what? You know all things. You know all things. You know, there are things that you know. And this may sound strange. There's things that you don't know you know. Until all of a sudden, whoa, I knew that. Why didn't I do it? Verse 21. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it and that no lies are the truth. So here is counsel, correction, and direction. He's saying, you got the Holy Spirit, you know these things. Who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you, steal your identity, mess with your attitude. Verse 27. Come on, let's all speak it. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So we were taught this morning, trained this morning by the anointing, not by this person, by the anointing. So that's why we give God the glory. Amen? Because it's the anointing that teaches me and you. It's the anointing that exposes. See, the Holy Spirit has prepared you for the next attack of the enemy. And some of you are in it right now. So he's making a way of escape for you because you're in it now. Some of us are getting ready to go into it. And some of us just came out of it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed because we're highly flavored. Thank you so much. Lord, let this seed of impartation by your spirit through the anointing be protected by the blood and quicken, bring into remembrance as their trials and tribulations come. In Jesus' name.